We will be reading from two passages, one in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 14, verses 1 through 2, and then from the New Testament, we will be reading from Romans chapter 16. First, Proverbs chapter 14. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. Those who walk uprightly fear the Lord, but one who is devious in conduct despises him. And then Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church at Synchrae, so that you may welcome her in the Lord as is fitting for the saints, and help her in whatever she may require from you, for she has been a benefactor of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, who work with me in Christ Jesus, and who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert in Asia for Christ. Greet Mary, who has worked very hard among you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my relatives who were in prison with me. They are prominent among the apostles, and they were in Christ Jesus before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and greet his mother, a mother to me also. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brothers and sisters who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Beth, I should have gotten you to read that. I say that because one time when Beth read the scripture, it was filled with all kinds of names. We're here today to honor mothers, since it is Mother's Day. But I also want us to look at some of the wise women that we find mentioned in the biblical text. Now, no, we are not going to recount an episode of Mafia Wives. You know, you got wise guys and wise women. And we're not going to talk like the writer of Ecclesiastes did. And you don't get mad at me, but the writer of Ecclesiastes said he had searched the world over and found many wise men, but not one wise woman. He obviously was not married. But I do want us to look at this brief passage in Proverbs chapter 14, but even more extensively in Romans chapter 16 as we think about wise women on this Mother's Day. Those who build their house, and what is meant here in the Hebrew is a house of life, wisely, who walk with God in the right paths, who teach others how to live with God and for God and with each other in this life. While the writer of Proverbs speaks briefly to this in chapter 14, and we could go to chapter 31 and spend some time there, we will look to the examples listed by Paul in Romans 16. As Proverbs 14 opens, the dominant theme of the chapter is introduced. The dominant theme of the entire chapter here in Proverbs is to give a contrast between the wise and the foolish. period. The wise and the foolish. Now, while some translations read wisdom or lady wisdom here at the beginning of chapter 14, the Hebrew actually is wise women. My translation said the wise woman, but literally it is wise women build their house, their lives. Those who build their lives or houses with the fear of the Lord. And once again, we're not talking here as being afraid of God. But in most cases in the Old Testament, when we talk about the fear of the Lord ruling and reigning in our lives, or that a wise person knows the fear of the Lord, we're actually talking about awe and reverence and respect. Awe and reverence and respect that is shown through wisdom and through wise actions. But it's not just intellectual wisdom about which the writer is speaking here. This kind of fear of the Lord is regularly in the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures associated with moralistic wisdom, walking uprightly, living a moral and morally acceptable life, rather than deviating or turning aside from the way of the Lord. Interestingly enough, in Hebrew, when it says here that they walk in that fear of the Lord, to walk in Hebrew literally means to pursue a lifestyle. So the wise woman, and subsequently those whom she teaches, wise persons, are those who pursue a lifestyle of moral uprightness, of awe and reverence and respect for God. I will admit, though there have been some very influential men in my life, especially my father and my grandfathers, mothers, teachers of Sunday school, music teachers, teachers in school. Other women are often the earliest and most persistent teachers of moral and ethical wisdom, are they not? I've said it before, I'll say it again. It wasn't my daddy that took us out to the switchbush. If we did something wrong, it was my mother that sent us there and knew how to work it well. It was a forsythia bush. I remember it well. But mothers and our women teachers and leaders are those who tend to be the most persistent. We find people talking after perhaps they've spent a life in crime or doing something else, that the only way they really made it was through the persistent prayers for them of whom? Their mothers, their grandmothers, their Sunday school teachers. That's not to say we don't have men who fill those roles too. But it's most often the moms, the women, of whom we think. In fact, when you ask people, though sometimes men are mentioned, when you ask people, the teacher, Sunday school teacher, the VBS leader, or other person whom they remember as having the most influence, the vast majority of times they will give you the name of a woman. That one who is the most remembered and influential in their early years. Some of these examples in the Old Testament are women much as Miriam, Moses' sister, who herself was a prophetess. Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Deborah, who was a judge. Esther, among others. We could go on and on. In the New Testament, most of us think of women like Mary, the mother of Jesus, and I think rightly so. Or Mary Magdalene, Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And for those who are type A workaholics around the home, they will even mention Martha rather than Mary. Some might mention Priscilla, or Phoebe, or the four daughters of Philip the Evangelist, who themselves prophesied. Paul himself recognized, that influential writer, the one who is responsible for more New Testament writings than any other author, Paul recognized the importance of numerous wise women who helped spread the gospel, who helped spread the Christian lifestyle. Actually, in Romans chapter 16, the passage we read, in those 16 verses, there are 9 women mentioned by Paul, all of whom had some influence on Paul and the sharing of the gospel. These are those who worked in and for the church, who helped to share Christian social norms every bit as much as the men, or maybe even more so. In Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, we also find that early Christians oftentimes practiced giving recommendations to other churches, both so that those churches would welcome the person, and also to show the church that this person had proven themselves as one who understood and practiced Christian virtues. Among other things, actually, this helped to protect the church from imposters who might take advantage of the Christian generosity of church members. Paul's commendation of Phoebe here is important, as he commends her in various ways. Not only does he identify her by name, he mentions that she is to be commended as a deacon of the church at Synchrae. He asks the church to receive and assist her in anything she needs to help spread the gospel. And he identifies her as a helper, or my translation says benefactor. The word in the Greek is actually the word for a patron or a patroness. She is described as our sister, a family term often used by the Christians, as diakonon. In fact, some scholars contend she's the first one who serves as a deacon that is actually named as such. Origen said that this was a very important role for women in the early church. She is identified as prostasis, that is, patron, helper, benefactor, generally used of a person who was wealthy and well thought of and who had influence in protecting and leading others. The Roman congregation was called on to listen to her and to help her spread a gospel of love and care as a Christian servant. In verse 3, Paul speaks of Prisca, who's also known as Priscilla, and her husband, Aquila. They're described as fellow workers in the gospel. And they had begun a church. In fact, they had actually begun more than one church in different cities. But they had begun one in their home, a church among the Gentiles. And actually, Apollos, who is later mentioned in the Corinthian correspondence as being an apostle, a super apostle, a leader in the church at Corinth, Apollos had been tutored in the deeper understandings of the faith by Priscilla and her husband Aquila. Mary had worked very hard among the Romans teaching Christian morals. This is the Mary mentioned in verse 6, and it's not Mary the mother of Jesus, but it is a woman in the church who has been teaching in the Roman church Christian morals. In verse 7, we are told about Andronicus and his wife. Eunion is the Greek, but it's Junia. Junia. Who are called apostles. Now, they didn't have the office of apostle, but they did spread the good news and were recognized as having authority to do so. Interestingly enough, the feminine form of Junia is used throughout ancient literature and in various inscriptions. And the early church father, John Chrysostom, wrote, and I quote, "Think how great the devotion of this woman, Junia, must have been, that she should be worthy to be called an apostle of Christ Jesus. Given the ancient societal roles, relationships," of the end of quote. Given the ancient societal roles and relationships, it would have been difficult, quite frankly, to reach women and to address them from a missionary standpoint if important, influential Christian women had not been involved in sharing that good news. Tryphena and Tryphosa are fellow workers in the Lord, verse 12. Persis, and by the way, that is a woman's name in Greek, Persis worked hard in the Lord to help share the good news of the gospel of Christ Jesus. Rufus's mother had not only been a mother to Rufus, but had been like a mother to Paul himself, and he felt a son's affection for her. She had proved to be a spiritual mother, actually, to Paul and to many others. Julia and Nereus' sister are core members and workers of the congregation. All of these women worked hard in very similar ways to those of the men to help share the wisdom of life walking uprightly with God. Many examples in other times also suffice. There were many women saints. We think in more modern times of Mother Teresa as well, or in Baptist circles, Lottie Moon and Annie Armstrong. I would not begin to try and name all of the women in this congregation who have had influence, but I have written down here two of those that I know have had a great influence on others. Miss Sally Waldrop, and Martha Glenn, who started teaching Sunday school as a teenager. And we could go on, and I could point my finger at many who continue that tradition and who teach even today. And not just teaching Sunday school or VBS, but teaching by their example of how they live their lives and speak to others, children and adults alike. There are so many who have influenced and enhanced our lives with wisdom and grace and a deeper understanding of Christian virtue. Not just Christian information, but Christian virtue. They challenge us and love us in so many different ways, challenging us to build houses or lives of wisdom, of righteousness, and of mercy. Lives or homes in which we live that maintain deep connections with Jesus, our Christ. And so today, as we remember and celebrate our mothers, some living, some who have gone on in death, may we also celebrate and thank not only them, but thank all of these wise Christian women whom we have known throughout our lives, many of whom are in this room even now today, who have cared for us, who have cared for so many others, and who still care and work for Christ, with Christ, for us, in sharing the wisdom that only they as women can know in a particular way which enhances all of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for wise women. In a few moments, we will come to share in the table, remembering Jesus' sacrifice and the many lessons that He learned that he learned from his mother and from so many others, and lessons and teachings that he shared. As we come in a few moments, and before we come, I would invite you to take a hymnal and turn with me to hymn 147, How Great Thou Art, as we stand and as we sing together. May we not only remember God and how great God is, but may we also remember also the great influence that God has in our lives, that God gives to us to share in His sacrifice in Jesus our Christ. Hymn number 147, How Great Thou Art.